There's not a single person here this morning that Jesus Christ doesn't love you, and he's available for you. All you have to do is take him. And then there was one other truth on Easter Sunday that I brought out. He's not only alive and he's not only available, but he is adequate for every problem that you and I will ever go through. And that's wonderful to know. We never know when we turn a corner what's going to happen. But God is available and God is adequate. I'm going to ask that we look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lovely day that you have given to each and every one of us. And we thank you, Lord, that on this Sunday we can come into your sanctuary and worship you. And in these quiet moments, I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit you would speak to us. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that by the end of the hour that all of us together might want to say that we want to be like Jesus. I pray, Lord, that will be our prayer and the passion of our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for these who have come. And if there's anyone here this morning who does not know thee, I pray, Lord, that they might come to the realization that you are alive and that you are available by faith. Now speak to our hearts, and we shall be careful to give thee the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this morning, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to take them and turn with me to this fascinating, very challenging portion of Scripture as found in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and our text is found in the words of verse 5. So you want to be like Jesus? That's the question. And notice what Paul says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, last week I brought to your attention that it's also rendered, let this attitude be in you. Let this disposition be in you. And I told you last week that we ought to have the attitude and the mind and the disposition of Jesus. Each and every one of us. No matter what position we hold here in the church. That's number one. We ought to be like Jesus. As a minister, I should be like Jesus. As a deacon, trustee, Sunday school teacher, if you sing in the choir, everything that you and I do, we need to be like Jesus. But most people today live only to please themselves. And in reality, they don't want to be like Jesus. They very seldom think of God and his eternal truths. And yet I want us all to recognize that if we are to be conscientious Christians, the one major desire of our lives should be to please our Heavenly Father. Now that was the heart-throbbing passion of Jesus, to please God in everything that he did. And he accomplished that task. Remember what I said last Sunday? That at the baptism of Jesus, there was God in heaven. The Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Jesus went down into the waters of baptism. And then there came that voice, that marvelous voice of God. And we read the words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." One day each and every one of us are going to stand before a righteous and a holy God. And would you not want him to say to you the same thing that he said about his own son, Jesus Christ? We're children of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear those words when we stand before him? Well done. I'm well pleased. Enter thou into the joy of living. Well, since Jesus pleased God in everything he did, I submit that we ought to be like Jesus. And last week, we found out two ways in which we can be like Jesus, according to the text. First of all, I mentioned that it will be a life where self-emptying will be our principle. It will be the principle by which we guide our lives. We learned last Sunday from the words of verse 7 that he made himself of no reputation. And I told you that they mean he emptied himself. He stripped himself. And we realized that he didn't strip himself of his deity because he was God. And he didn't strip himself of his sinlessness because he lived without sin. He lived an impeccable life. But he stripped himself and he laid aside his glory and the majesty that he had with God the Father. And then I took you to John chapter 17. And we went and we looked at verse 5, where Jesus said to his Father, "Restore unto me the joy that I had with thee before the foundation of the earth." The glory of all glories was the glory of his death and the glory of his resurrection and the glory of his ascension when he returned to the right hand of God the Father. So he stripped himself. He laid aside. He gave up his essential, his glory and his power and his heavenly majesty associated with his deity. And I mentioned last Sunday that this was the mind of Jesus. Others first. And the mind of Jesus must be the mind of the Christian. Instead of living a life of self-seeking and self-important and self-will and self-centeredness, which demand others to bend to the way that we think, we seek instead to have this death-to-self attitude so gloriously exhibited in our Savior Jesus Christ. And I mentioned last Sunday that it seems almost impossible a task to accomplish, but we don't do it in our own strength. He's the pattern, and then he gives us the power by which you and I can be like Jesus through the inworking of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to be like Jesus, first of all, there must be the self-emptying. And that is the principle by which we live our lives. Now, that goes against all of the philosophy of modern man. They want to get ahead. They want to be first. And we even have that in the church. It's amazing when I just sit back and see the way that some people like to manipulate and move. And I just smile to myself and say, this is not the way that Jesus would do it. You don't have to further your cause, and I don't have to further my cause. We just self-emptying. And that goes against everything in the day in which we happen to live. But Jesus set the example. And then we found out that not only is self-emptying the principle by which we live our lives, but secondly, a life where being a servant will be our pleasure. And Jesus set the example. And remember what I told you last Sunday. We must distinguish between being a servant and doing service. And there's a vast distinction. They aren't the same. They are not identical. Service speaks of accomplishment for Christ. But being a servant sets forth the attitude and the disposition and the mind of Jesus in doing the service. You know, I've known some wonderful ministers in my travels across the country. And you know, I must admit that there are some, because of their disposition and the way they deal with people and the way they treat people, I just didn't want to be around them. You've often heard me mention the ministry of Dr. Paul Rees. I had the wonderful privilege of working in his church while I was in Minneapolis. I went there my sophomore year, and I was there my sophomore year, my junior year, and my senior year. At that time, there were about 2,500 people that would pack that service, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. And Minneapolis is a great place for the evangelical preaching of the gospel. As a matter of fact, First Baptist Church was the pastorate of Dr. W.B. Riley, the great preacher, for 45 years. Dr. Reese would come out at 11:05. They'd go on the radio at 11 o'clock. He wore tails, very dignified. He believed in the sanctity of the sanctuary and the sanctity of the pulpit. And as a young college student, I was in the balcony. And he would come and get down on his knees at 11:05 and pray. And then the service would start. And all of these collegiate young people from all over that area, Sunday morning and Sunday night, would listen for the next 35 to 40 minutes. But he was a humble servant. And he served in the capacity the same way that Jesus did. And he knew the difference between service and being a servant. And having the humble disposition. And that's what Jesus wanted his disciples to know. And he asked them, he said, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" When he washed their feet. And he wanted them to recognize the difference between service and being a servant. If we want to be like Jesus, we need to make sure that whatever your service and whatever my service, that we do it in the attitude of Jesus. If we want to be like Jesus. So we have seen 2 points if we want to be like Jesus. Self-emptying must be our principle. We don't have to get ahead. God will set the pace. And serving will be our pleasure, whatever that might be. There's nothing insignificant here at Second Baptist Church. And the God of the seeing eye knows everything that is being carried on. And he's going to reward you for your faithfulness. Now let's hasten to a third. To be like Jesus, it will be a life where suffering will be our privilege. You ought to get that down. Now Paul speaks of it in verse 7. And notice what he says. Talking of Jesus, he said, "And he was made in the likeness of men." Now notice that little word likeness. The New Living Translation has it, and he appeared in human form. Phillips renders it, "and being born as mortal man." In other words, Jesus put on the garb of human flesh. He joined the ranks of humanity. He did not play at being a man. He was a real man. Now, the word likeness conveys the truth, that word that we have in the Authorized Version, the King James, that Jesus became genuinely human. And in becoming truly man, he identified himself with man in all points of our lives. Every aspect of human suffering, except that of sin. And the greatest suffering that Jesus ever went through was that on the cross. As a matter of fact, Isaiah the prophet wrote of the ignominious sufferings of Jesus in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14, in these words. Now, this is what Isaiah said, writing prophetically 750 years before the coming of Christ and the death of Jesus. He said, "His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond any human likeness." In other words, Isaiah the prophet was saying that Jesus suffered so much that when they got through persecuting him, you couldn't even tell that he was a human being. Now, I don't know how many of you saw The Passion. Ellie and I went to see it, but I couldn't watch it. Halfway through, I started looking down. It was too graphic. To know what Jesus went through for each and every one of us. And here in our Lord's death for sinful mankind, he identifies himself at every aspect of our humanity. In other words, he put himself in our place. There's nothing that you and I have ever gone through that Jesus hasn't already gone through. He knows about it. Now, Jesus not only felt for us, but in a much deeper sense, he felt with us. He was right there. He felt the pinch of poverty. He felt the pang of hunger. He felt the distress of pain. He felt the sense of loneliness there on the cross. He felt the sting of death. And as a man, he identified himself with our weaknesses in every way. The sinless identified himself with the sinner. But we also have something else here, if we want to be like Jesus. That when Jesus became man, he took his place with men in their sin. As a matter of fact, Paul says in writing to the Corinthians that he became sin for us. He passionately desired to bear the sins of the world. And in doing so, it was a self-identification of himself with sinners. And out of that identification with sinners flowed divine action. And it continues to flow. Grace is bestowed upon the undeserving. Anywhere throughout the world today where people are hearing the gospel of grace, though they're undeserving, it continues to flow into their hearts. Mercy is provided to the offender. Forgiveness is extended to the guilty. The Holy Spirit is released to those of us who know Jesus as believers. And then heaven is the promise, home for the pardoned sinner. All because of Jesus, that he identified himself with sinners. Now, what does all of this mean for you and I? Well, in that same sympathetic suffering which characterized the life of Jesus, when he identified himself with sinful mankind, that must be exhibited in us if people are going to believe that our love is genuine and our service is not self-serving and self-serving. We must feel for them, but even more like Jesus. We must be willing to feel with them. We must sit where people sit before we can literally minister to them. You know, when you and I go through a problem, before we have the problem, we can sympathize. And it's good. That's some things that we need to do. But when one has been confronted themselves with cancer, and they go into the hospital and they talk with someone who's going through a similar operation that they've gone through, it's more than sympathizing, now it's empathizing. Now they are right there with them. Not just for them. But they're with them. They understand. They comprehend. They know what they're going through. So to be like Jesus, we must have the mind of suffering. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul when he said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Suffering for Christ. You know, we in the Western world, I really believe we do very little suffering for Jesus in reality. We have everything going for us here in the Western world. It really comes easy. There aren't too many of us who are called upon to lay down our lives, literally speaking, for the cause of Jesus. While our comrades and brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world have been thrown to the lions, beaten with rods, injured for life, while we here in America, we lavishly make our money, We excessively buy our clothes. We nourish ourselves in the luxury of living. And we have the audacity to call that really suffering. And Jesus comes along and he says, if you really want to be like me, if you really want to be like me, then there must be that willingness to have that suffering and let it be your privilege, suffering for Christ. Let me ask you this morning, in what way are you and I suffering for Jesus? I'm not saying suffering because of our sin. I'm not talking about the human illnesses that come to all of God's creatures, whether they be saved or unsaved. I'm talking about that cross that God is asking you to carry on behalf of Christ because you love Christ. Some of you young people here this morning, do you find yourself suffering for Christ in that local high school, in that college, that university? Because of your stand? Because you have your Bible with you? Because you pray before you eat? Where some of you men work, do you find you're suffering for Jesus? Because you've taken a stand for Jesus Christ? Suffering on behalf of Christ. That's what Paul is talking about. And that's what Jesus was willing to go through. So, that's our privilege. If we want to be like Jesus. Now, we're talking about becoming like Jesus in all aspects of life. And we have found that the Jesus life was self-emptying. And that was his principle. He always put others first. He wasn't thinking of himself. He wasn't trying to get an advantage. He wasn't looking out for number one. Every time he turned a corner, he was always interested in wooing and winning people. Self-emptying was the principle by which he lived his life. A willingness to serve was the pleasure by which he took the towel and the basin and the water and washed the dirtied feet of those disciples that should have been washing his feet. Suffering was the privilege. He counted it as a privilege. And he got right down where people were. And he suffered not only for them, which is a wonderful biblical truth, but with them. And then there's another. Now a fourth submission will be our practice. Notice the words found in verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. I like Phillips here. He humbled himself by living a life of utter obedience. Now, he's already assumed the position of a slave before his crucifixion. Now there is the desire of Christ to put himself submissively, obediently, under the discipline of his Father's divine will. Listen to this Jesus as he voluntarily submits himself to the sovereign mission which God called upon him to perform. In John chapter 6, verse 38, we read the words Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Now, the point I want you to catch is this. It's the length to which Jesus went to perform the will of the Father. He could have talked about it and done nothing. A lot of people do that. But Jesus was more than talk. He demonstrated the length to which his obedience went. That's what we need to look at. It was his Father's will, which was death. And Jesus hesitated, but he continued. So much so that even when God's will pointed to suffering and death, the obedience of Christ is revealed that he accepted it without reservation. Listen to his words in St. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup, the cup of his death, from me." Now notice, "nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." That's the length to which his obedience went, to the limit. Now, as Jesus submitted gladly and freely in obedience to his Father's will, if we want to be like Jesus, you and I must be willing to do the same. For if we are truly going to be like Jesus Christ, then our absolute loyalties must be given over to him. It must be totally surrendered to our Heavenly Father. We must willingly and perhaps sacrificially give over our obedience to Christ in all areas of living. Every aspect of our lives. Let me ask you this morning, has your life totally come under the mastery of Jesus Christ? Every aspect, your thought life, your educational life, your job, your work, your home. That's what he's asking, because that's what Jesus did. Someone has said, "Master, speak and make me ready. When thy voice is truly heard, with obedience glad and steady, still to follow every word." One final thought this morning. We're talking about being like Jesus. Finally, sacrifice must be our passion. Notice the kind of death that Jesus endured for us according to Paul in verse 8. He was obedient unto death, we know that, even the death of the cross. And that was the way Jesus died. Death by crucifixion. It was the most ignominious way to die. It was reserved for the worst of Roman criminals. And yet that was the way that Christ was put to death. It was cruel. It was loathsome. And the eternal Son of God died that way. Now that needs to be exhibited in our lives, that willingness, that sacrificial spirit. With the book of Philippians before us, Paul argues by his own example. Turn with me to chapter 3 for a moment there in the book of Philippians. Notice the words found in verse 10. This was Paul's passion. That's a wonderful verse. Now notice what he says. He says, "Now I long to know Christ." Well, we know as Christians that he already knew Jesus. So what does he mean? Well, it's not the knowledge of the intellect. It's the knowledge of the intimate. He says, "I want to know all there is of Jesus. I want to know all there is of his fullness, all there is of his forgiveness, all there is of his freedom. I want to know Jesus Christ and the power shown by his resurrection." Now notice, "Now I long to share his sufferings, even to die as he died." Phillips translation. And Paul was willing to die. The same way that his master was willing to die. And most of us realize this morning that that passion, that desire one day literally was fulfilled. Because Paul was martyred for his faith. And then he comes along, the same Paul, and he writes to you and I, and he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "I beg you, I beseech you, brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him." Now I make a prediction. Those of us who are here this morning, there will be very few, if any, that will be called upon, unless you go to some foreign field and you start working among the Aborigines. there will be very few, if any, who will be called upon to lay down their lives and die for the cause of Christ. That might come because things are happening here in this country. We're getting away from God. We're becoming more godless. And America is going to play a part in prophecy somewhere. But I doubt a very few of this generation are going literally to have to die for their faith. But my dear friends, I'm going to tell you something. There's even a death that is greater perhaps than dying physically. And it's a death to this self-attitude. Instead of self-seeking, our attitude should be that of self-giving. And instead of self-asserting, our attitude should be self-offering. And instead of self-enriching, our attitude should be that of self-renouncing. That was the principle by which Jesus tells us that we are to live. Notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Each of you should look not to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. And so to live that life that Jesus lived, through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not within our own strength to accomplish. You're never going to be able to do it on your own, and neither am I. But it's not beyond His strength to make it a living reality within our lives. Now, if we didn't believe that, let's stop preaching and close the doors of the church. We talk about the victorious Christian life. We talk about purity and holiness. We talk about being like Jesus. And then many Christians leave the sanctuary and they go out and they aren't changed and revolutionized by the way they live during the week. And yet we should be, if we convincingly believe what this book says, that we can be like Jesus and we can be different. My dear friend, you can be a different husband. You can be a different wife. You can be a different daughter. You can be a different son. You can be a different church member. That's victorious Christian living. But it's not in our own strength. It's in His power and in His strength. But there comes that dying to that old self. And that's the hardest thing in all of the world. Even Paul tells us about it. He tells us in Romans chapter 7. And he was a converted man when he talked about it. He was a converted man with a conflict. And yet he confesses. He said, that which I want to do, I don't do. And that which I should do, I find that I'm not doing. And he raises the question, who on earth can deliver me out of this agonizing situation? And then he says, I thank God there is a way out. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Now think of it. The same Christ that saved him was the same Christ who could sustain him and give him that personality and give him that disposition and give him that mind and that attitude of Jesus. So to be like Jesus, it will be self-emptying. Will be our principle. Being a servant will be our pleasure. Suffering will be our privilege. Submission will be our practice. And sacrifice will be our passion. You know, there used to be a song in the hymnal. I don't think it's in ours. As a matter of fact, I think I had to go to you, Alice, to get it. Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures. Jesus, Thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like Thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender, and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like Thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like Thee while I am pleading, pour out Thy Spirit, fill with Thy love, make me a temple meet for Thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above. You know, that's a prayer that we sing, and we can make it a living reality right this morning. There's not a person here in this sanctuary who couldn't sing that as a closing prayer. Jesus, I want to be like You. I want to live like You. I want to be the kind of Christian and church member and husband and wife like You would have me to be. And then we pray. And we find that the Spirit of the living God, as we yield to Him, gives us the ability through His power to become that type of Christian. Hey, that's what the world is waiting for. They're going to be attracted to people who are attractive. If you're down in the dumps constantly, if you find yourself just in battling, in conflict, the world's not going to be interested. They are looking for people in whom Jesus Christ is reigning. And that's why D.L. Moody, when he was walking down the streets of New York, the world is yet to see one man totally sold out to Him. And Moody was right when he said, by God's grace, I want to be that man. And he was. And we know how God used D.L. Moody. May this be our prayer. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the privilege of serving You. We thank You, Lord, for these dear friends who have come to this church on this Sunday. And I pray, Lord, that You have spoken to hearts. If there's someone here today who does not know Thee, I pray, Lord, that Your will might be accomplished. I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, last Sunday we had a number of people who raised their hands, and by that uplifted hand they said, Pastor Edge, I want my life to resemble the life of Jesus in these areas. Before we close this morning, I wonder if there's anyone, and God has been speaking to your heart, and you say before we're dismissed, I want my life to be like Jesus. Pastor Reg, you showed me how, and I want to appropriate that by the Spirit's power, and that's my prayer. If that's your prayer this morning, anyone, would you just put that hand up and let the Lord see it? See that hand? Oh my, good number. Wonderful. God bless you. Alice, would you play lightly in the background for just a moment? Now, for those of you who raised your hands and any others, I'm going to ask if we'll just take a few moments and just have a time of silent prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we could be here this Sunday. And for those hearts in which You have spoken, I pray, Lord, that there will be a real change. I pray this was nothing superficial. Oh God, I pray that there will be a difference this coming week in our lives. Make that change a living reality. And as we go out, I pray, Lord, that we will be different because we are doing it through the power of the Spirit of the living God. We thank You, Lord, for speaking. And I pray, Lord, that You'll continue to bless in Jesus' name. Amen.